Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show for September 1st, 2013, with Richard Olson and...
Sherry Edwards. Glad to be here.
Good morning. Pardon the dog barking in the background. That's part of being on live. I have dogs in the background barking. They'll stop.
Good to hear your voice every week, Richard.
Thank you. Yours too. Now that all the technology has settled in, you know, as always, there's always this... It's so fun and amusing, is how I choose to look at it, how right before showtime, like always about 6 or 7 minutes before showtime, something kind of hiccups and there's a speed bump in the force, and then it comes back together.
Well, ours was deliberate last Tuesday, and we couldn't put on the show because every time I would open a file, it would be a different file than what I thought I was opening. So we got some kind of radical bug. And I got a little bug flying around me here trying to get into my drink, that it just changed the names of files around. All the files were still there, but we had to go open each one. It took us hours. And somebody's got their mic open. Please close it. Thank you. We should ask people to keep all their mics closed, because we get a feedback. Also, for those of you who are watching us on our simultaneous broadcast on Blog Talk Radio as well as WebEx, you can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, look under Blog Talk Radio, and get the link for either one of those. We are going to be looking at a website of our guest that we will introduce in just a few minutes, as well as hear her speaking. We hope she guides us through the mountains of information on the website. So I want to jump back. For those of you who are going to be looking at us simultaneously, on a WebEx, there's a little green bar at the top or bottom of your screen, and you can open your chat there. If you just click on that little green tab, you can also look at participants. You can chat to each other. So as we go along, we have this wonderful audience that just is so full of help for each other as we go along. It's absolutely wonderful. And then to know, too, that on Blog Talk, this show will be up within a half hour or so after we produce it. I guess that's what we're doing. And then you can listen to it there. We don't often keep the WebEx, because usually it's just going through the website. Sometimes we do, and sometimes people ask for copies of it. I wanted to talk a little bit about things that people have written to us. Richard, do you have any announcements before I do that?
No, my usual, there are things that I could jump on the soapbox, but no, I'll say no for now, thank you.
Okay, since it is September 1st, we are going to change out our download. The download that we had for August was fatigue. So we're going to change it out, and we would like all of you who are listening to let us know what you would like to see up there as a free software. We did post-traumatic stress disorder last week. We could put up nutrition if people are interested in that, looking at their vitamin D to check their levels, or whatever you would like to see for the moment. Let us know, and whatever gets the most votes, that's what we'll put up as a free download. Remember, too, that radiation exposure software, especially for those of you who are being bombarded on the West Coast there, that software we leave up, and it's there for 24/7. So let us know. We did get a couple of things for our mailbag. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about Harry Reid's relative and the horse thief and the spin on that?
I'm laughing because I remember it. It was brilliant marketing. It was unbelievable how they spun that. It was really great.
Well, we ticked off a few people because they said that was an absolutely untrue story. And I don't think we put it up there as a true story. We put it up there as this, somebody sent this to us as an example of spin. And it was a great and wonderful example of spin and how people are being manipulated. So I would remind you, go back to your free nano voice download. And if you think somebody is fibbing to you, whether it's a government official or whomever, go ahead and download their voice on a video, put it in that little nano voice computer program, and it'll spit out the information for you. And if you're having trouble with that, send us a little blurb about it. We'll try to help. Or maybe look at whoever you're looking at now. I don't want thousands of these. Sometimes people just send me a recording of a voice and say, this is my Uncle Harry. Tell me about him. You know, no. You, the software is up there for you to do the information. But I love this thing about spin because it just shows absolutely how we're just totally manipulated by other people's voice. And we're here in this show to give you new ideas and information in support of self-help and self-responsibility. And by providing that information, we want to help you discover what doesn't work, because that provides your clues to change. And that's what we would like to see. Optimal support so you can be the best person you can be. Or the worst person, you know, whatever you want to be good at, if it's being a bad person, be the best at it, you know, wherever you're going with that. But there is so much going on in life right now and what is going on. I have a little secret. It won't be a secret long when I put this out. Last week, or whenever it was, when we were bombarded, we think maybe it was because of the topic that we're going to talk about, who in Congress might have some Alzheimer's issues, and we were talking past and present. We were talking Democrats and Republicans. So we're not going to announce when we're going to do this again, just in case. Because 5 minutes before the show, everything was fine. I come in and set up at least an hour early and talk to people online. So just a few minutes before we were to go on, that's when we got blasted. So if it was the topic, we're just going to surprise you some evening with that topic and that show. And we're going to do it from different computers each time now that it could be something political. So we'll just go from there. You want to comment on any of that?
No, that's part of what I was talking about at the opening, though, that it's always amazing how right before the show or frequently before the show there's some speed bump in the ones and zeros that make the Internet. And especially these days, ever since we've all beginning to hear about all the stuff that's going on, it just seems like everything's a little lumpier on the Internet than usual.
But I love the Internet. I was looking at some statistics from a few years ago, and there would be some months, if I got 20 letters out of here, I was lucky. And last month, I answered over 6,000 emails. So that's just how much more productive it allows us to be. Boy, I see people coming in from all over the world, from Africa and Australia. And wow, thank you guys for taking the time to be with us. Richard always encourages me to do the keynote, and we're always both surprised to find out how much it deals with what's going on for the day. Mm-hmm. So I have published the keynote on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and we always publish a little teaser there because, bioacoustically speaking, almost everything is something else. So it's all illusion. Oh, and people don't understand what I just said. Okay. Swollen ankles can also be a lack of potassium. Swollen tongue can also be a lack of potassium. So do we give you potassium or do we send you to a chiropractor for some lymph massage? You know, the body is redundant. So we always put a little optical illusion up there. for you. Today's keynote is for September 1st, 2013. It's ruled by an early note of F. Virgo, in astrological terms, we don't put that anyplace else because we just don't deal with astrology here, but some people always ask that question, so I put it up there. And light, bright green in terms of color, and I've put that color behind this optical illusion of faces. Energy today, see you gathering what is your emotional and what is yours emotionally and physically to take count, to take stock of whatever's going on, to see that everything is in its place and to see that you have dominion over what's yours. It may seem like the world and your body is in a hurry-up mode, but that'll pass by Wednesday. Growth hormones of all kinds have been brought into play this week, whether it's reproductive, cellular energy. Everything seems to be speeding up, so that'll pass by Thursday or so. And again, this is frequencies coming from the Earth, from our interstellar, I don't think there's atmosphere, but interstellar someplace. NASA's following these. A lot of the big companies putting up satellites are following these. So we just look and see what frequency is coming at the Earth and then look at what it means in terms of what we're doing here at the Bioacoustic Research Center. The mineral biotin comes into stress on Tuesday, and biotin is often stressed for women who are menopausal or perimenopausal because of the absorption of calcium relies on the boron to maintain healthy bones. Our guest is going to talk to us more about that. Sometimes the indication of low boron is the sensation of a crawly spider on your skin. Boron can be found in fruits, nuts, and leafy vegetables. Boron requires manganese, calcium, and B2 to be properly used by the body. It is especially useful and aids in our body's use of vitamin D. Now, for those of you who want to know more about that, go back to the downloads, go to the bonus software or wherever, and at the bottom there is a little green and black looking nutrient assimilation chart. It will tell you how these interactions happen with boron and vitamin D and boron and vitamin 2. So you can just go to that site and bring that down. Several abdominal muscles are in stress over the next few days, which in turn continue those low back rumblings and grumblings that we talked about last week. Those of you who need some core strengthening exercise might notice that setting up from a prone position may be difficult, like when you first come up out of bed. You could do some Pilates to help with that. The allergies that are coming into play in the next couple of days are going to be assisted by thymopoietin, that's a kidney-associated protein, as it comes into play on the 30th and will help the body deal with airborne and animal sensitivity. So we know those frequencies for that and often use them for people who have sensitivity to their dogs and cats. Hope this helped. Hope you go look at it, put it on your Facebook, let other people know, or if they're complaining of symptoms of this kind for the week, just let them know that this too shall pass. Over to you, Richard.
It always amazes me how the keynote, you know, comes up with something that is absolutely going on with people that I talk to during the week or, you know, pre-show or within the next couple of days. There's always some kind of question that comes up. I know at some point in the next several days somebody mentioned to me that they have that weird boron deficiency issue of that crawly skin spidery thing. I can feel it in the air. It's always amazing to me. I love the keynote. Thank you. And with that, I'm so happy to say that we have with us Carol Beggerly. Carol is the director of Grassroots Health, the world's largest vitamin D health promotion organization. Grassroots Health D Action Project has as its purpose to provide a model for public health action on vitamin D. It is a test bed for techniques, research information, and for providing outcome evaluation at a community level. Good morning, Carol. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm delighted to be here.
I guess I have to jump right in and ask, even though I have been involved and known of grassroots health and done actual vitamin D testing with you for a long time, how did, you know, who is grassroots health and how did it get started? I mean, what was the passion that started grassroots health? Because as you wander around the site, it's obvious that it's driven by passion because it's just so robust and filled with wonderful information.
I think the passion that got it started is exactly the same passion that keeps it going. There's a major problem out there. You got to fix it. I had breast cancer in 2005, and I have been a very healthy person all my life and still am. And I was truly appalled at the treatment for it. And after receiving said treatment, I had the whole set of things from chemotherapy to radiation to a mastectomy. I felt that something had to be done to deal with this, and I didn't have an answer to that other than for the next couple of years I did nothing day to night except to look for different remedies, different treatments, different, you know, who knows what is being done all over the world. And then almost accidentally in 2007 in February, and this day I will never forget, I went to the doctor for a different kind of follow-up, and I was told that I had osteoporosis. And I said, why? I work out, I eat right, I weigh the right thing. And the doctor said, you probably have a vitamin D deficiency. And I said, what's that? And at any rate, she prescribed some vitamin D for me. They took a test, and indeed I was very low. My serum level, which is how vitamin D is measured, was 20 nanograms per milliliter, which is really quite low. And I then went back home to continue my research on my cancer issues, and I apologize to all the people that work with us still for taking 2 whole hours wasted before it dawned on me to key in vitamin D in cancer, because I had never done that. And up came the report of a brand new issue of a paper by Dr. Cedric Garland at the University of California, San Diego, saying that if women had a serum level of about 50 nanograms per milliliter, you could prevent about 50% of breast cancer. 50% could be prevented. And I looked at that, I read the report, I read the scientific paper, and I looked at it, and quite honestly, I had goosebumps, and in a few minutes later, I was literally crying with, this can't be true. I'm quite a skeptic. I do have a scientific background, although not in health, in physics and math. And at any rate, I called up a friend of mine at UCSD, and I said, is this guy a flake? And she said, no, Carol, he's not a flake. He's one of the most esteemed researchers in the whole field of vitamin D and cancer, and he's actually rather discouraged right now. And I said, why on earth would he be discouraged? And she said, because he's been working at this for 30 years, and he feels like nobody's listening. And I said, I'm listening. So that I was listening is only significant in terms of a little bit of background, which is my whole career has been in sales and marketing, and I figured there was a way to get the message out. So that's what started it. The second thing that was equally important is I then got myself invited to a really big conference in May of that very year at the National Cancer Institute at NCI on vitamin D and cancer. And I sat there for 2 whole days listening to researchers from all over the world talking about the research that they'd been doing. And some of it was animal test tubes, a little bit people. I mean, it was all kinds of research. Not all of it said, oh, vitamin D is great, but much of it did. And at the end of the conference, 2 days worth, the scientists were asked, where do we go from here? And I'm sitting there, and I'm so excited. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this word's finally going to get out. People are going to be saved. The world's going to change. And the response was, we need to do more research. I was done.
Wow.
I mean, that was the answer. Well, we had these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful room at the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda. And on every single desk, there was this long kind of microphone thing, and it had a button on the end of it. And if you pressed the button, you got to speak. Well, to this day, I swear that my button pulsed. I pressed the button. And I stood
wow.
up. And I only had a few words. I said, where is your sense of urgency? And I sat down. Because I was just dumbfounded. And my heart was rapidly beating. And the conference was over. I mean, I officially ended the conference. Well, the next step was what made it all happen. I was surrounded by probably half the scientists in the room who said, literally, how can you help us get the word out? That's what they wanted. How can you help us? So even the scientific community was anxious about all the work they've done, and nobody's hearing it. And so I said, you know, I don't know yet how to help you because I don't know what the message is. So my husband, Dr. Leo Baggerly, and I then traveled all over the United States and Canada for the next 6 months meeting with all of these great researchers to say, what's the message? And believe it or not, there was one message, which 6 years later is still exactly the same. What everybody in the whole world needs to do is to get their vitamin D serum level to somewhere between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter. That's it.
It's amazing to me. I've heard you say this before, and it always amazes me that it's really so simple in that what you just said is it. And yet it's taken all this time, and it's still taking all this time for people to be able to hear that, understand it, and achieve it. And it's not even like it's really hard to achieve, is it? I mean, it's amazing.
No, it's not really hard to achieve. The reason that we are deficient, for the most part, is because we are inside. We've gone from being an agricultural world to an industrial world, and so we don't have our natural source of vitamin D, which is the sun, coming at us. So by taking supplements, which is a pretty common thing, certainly in the United States, it's not the end-all and be-all for everybody in the world. But regardless, by taking supplements, it's really pretty easy, very easy, as a matter of fact.
When I went to school to become a dietitian many years ago, they told us no one needed nutrients, that we got it all from our food. Can we get vitamin D from our food, too, in addition to the sun?
Actually, almost not at all. But getting vitamin D from the food is, I'm really glad that you asked that question, because it is often stated on some nutrition sites that really don't know what the requirement is, that, oh, sure, you can get it from a couple of servings of salmon or something like that. And as a matter of fact, salmon may have about, let's, and vitamin D intake is measured in terms of IUs or international units. And 1,000 international units is 25 micrograms. It's a very small amount, in spite of the fact that it sounds like a lot. At any rate, a serving of salmon might have about 400 international units. What the body needs, almost everybody's body needs, is at least 4,000 international units a day. So is anybody going to eat 10 servings of salmon a day? I'll let you answer that.
Well, does that need go up with age or illness, or just that's the walking around level?
The need seems to vary by all kinds of things that we don't yet have answers to, Sherry. Certainly it varies somewhat by body mass index or your overall weight. People that weigh more need to take more vitamin D in order to achieve the same level. But we have within our study now that we're running about 10,000 people and about 5,000 people, where we can show you that for a group of people taking 4,000 international units, a very large group of people taking 4,000 international units, some of them might be at 20 nanograms per milliliter, some of them might be at 120. So at present, we do not have a mass gauge other than we can tell you what the average is. So it really is dependent upon the person. That's why they need to be tested.
And how do people get tested?
Certainly they can ask at their doctor's office. Their insurance might cover it. In most cases, it does not cover it anymore for some very strange reason, unless you have a defined disease, but you can certainly do it that way. And obviously we encourage people, because we're running this massive study, which is funded by the public, to enable people to test through Grassroots Health. And people can get to that information on grassrootshealth.net.
We are looking at that site now.
Who are you?
Where's the best documentation? Because there's so many articles out there that say, oh, you don't need any vitamin D, you don't need any of this, all vitamin D is poison, you'll overdose yourself, you'll die of liver disease if you get too much vitamin D. So I'm looking at this as the be-all, end-all. This is the truth stuff.
Well, thank you. I think we are. There's several sets of information that I would recommend that people look at. Certainly start on our website, grassrootshealth.net. We're actually a research site, and so we have a different kind of information than other sites might have. One of the places on our site to look at is on the tab called Videos, and over on those videos we have webinars that we have been doing with the vitamin D researchers to talk about a whole range of topics, and they're right there and people can listen to them at any time. So those are the scientists. And coming this September the 10th, Dr. Cedric Garland will be doing a webinar on vitamin D as part of breast cancer treatment, which I encourage your listeners to log on for. That will be on the 10th. But anyway, that's one place on our site. There's another place on our site called Documentation, where we publish a whole bunch of reports. And there are two other websites I would like to encourage people to look at for more general information. We report a lot on our own research. The other two websites are Vitamin D Wiki. Henry Lahore, a former engineer at Boeing, runs that site, and he has put out thousands and thousands of articles about vitamin D, and it's easy to query. And the other site is the Vitamin D Council, run by Dr. John Connell, who is also a long-term vitamin D advocate. So I think amongst those three, you've probably got a pretty good handle on the current and what might be real information.
I'm noticing on these videos that it's vitamin D in diabetes, vitamin D in cancer, vitamin D in osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, immune system. It's just, this is like, is this the be-all, end-all, this is the most important one?
Oh, I think they are all very key, and they're all current. I mean, this is current research. This isn't long, long, long ago research. So there's some very, very new stuff out there that most of the world doesn't know about yet.
Well, I said the question wrong. Vitamin D, do you think it's the most important nutrient, or just the one that we don't get enough of?
Good question. Is it the most important nutrient? Well, I put it in the category of water, food, and adequate housing. It feeds every cell in your body. Every cell in your body. It enables every cell's DNA to do what it's supposed to do. Without it, you still live, but not anywhere near as optimally as you can with it. And that's what we're starting to realize.
I'm looking up this vitamin D wiki right now. Wow. That's better than Wikipedia. I'm going to put that. I'm going to put that in the chat for everybody. Richard, you cannot get to WebEx, but it's vitamindwiki.com. If you want to put in the chat for our Blog Talk people.
Absolutely. And also, I have a, I want to jump in and ask a technical question.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a lecture by William Grant,
mm-hmm.
who wrote a book called something. It's always the title of his book always throws me off because it sounds like it's solar power, meaning solar power. It's not. It's about vitamin D,
uh-huh.
and it's a great book. And it seemed like he used to say, because I belong to a group, an association where he used to speak regularly, and it seemed like he used to say that vitamin D in terms of sunlight was somewhat transitory in our system. In other words, you might measure in the morning, go out during the day, you'd get a peak level, and then it would sort of deplete over the night, and then you'd have to start over again in the daytime. Is that, by the research that you've run across, does that still seem to be, is that true?
Vitamin D is transitory in the sense that it is used by the system every day like all of our other nutrients. So, yes, you have to keep feeding your body with vitamin D. And one of the things that came up even with my own situation, which is I asked my doctor, okay, fine, I get my vitamin D level up, then am I done? And she said, no, you do this the rest of your life. I said,
right.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's forever.
Yeah.
Unless you have a major illness, I mean, that can affect things. You move out of whatever your climate is to another one. So there are situations where you need to measure again, generally about annually.
Is there such a thing as dry D and wet D? That's a question from our audience.
Well, there certainly are vitamin D supplements which are powders, and there are those which are liquid drops, for example, and then there are those which are liquid, but they are in capsules. So it comes in all forms. And we just did a comparison of our thousands of people to see if there was any difference with the effectivity of getting to a desired serum level based on the type of supplement they were taking, and there really was no difference. So people should just take whatever they feel most comfortable with.
Okay, and here's an odd question. Well, it's kind of a synthesis of several questions. Their parents are in rest home where they don't allow them to go out or they're shut in. How could they see that those folks get their vitamin D?
Almost exclusively then by supplements. There's a very interesting retirement home up in Canada over in Vancouver called Fraser Health. And one of the consequences of not enough vitamin D when people are elderly seems to be falls and fractures. And the minute you have these elderly people confined so that they're totally out of the sun almost, etc., they are liable for that. And then once a person has such a fracture, the probability quite literally that they're going to die in the next 5 years is very high. And the cost to the healthcare system is enormous. At any rate, at Fraser Health, they said, enough of this. I am just going to provide every single one of my residents, and I don't remember what it is, but it's several the equivalent of 2,000 international units a day. Here it is. And they have already reported a reduction in the number of falls and fractures amongst their people. So it just has to be taken on and done.
Another audience question. What about sunlight through windows, and what about full-spectrum lights? Does that provide the vitamin D that people need?
Sunlight through windows definitely does not. The sunlight that people need is in the ultraviolet B spectrum, and UVB gets blocked by a normal glass window. UVA comes through, and so you need to be out in the sunshine sometime, again, between the hours of 10 and 2. The UVB angle, or the angle of the sun with the atmosphere, pretty much blocks out the UVB either before that or after that. So it's kind of that midday that, quite honestly, we're told to avoid. The real issue with avoidance is don't burn. Protect the burning areas, like maybe your nose or the top of your face, but my goodness, get out and enjoy it. So what was the other part of your question, Sherry?
Does it come from full-spectrum lighting?
Oh, sure. Well, full-spectrum lighting, as provided by some tanning lamps or something? Is that what you're referring to, do you think?
Well, there's Ott lights that are full spectrum. We use grow bulbs in our office so that people aren't sitting under fluorescent lights or just windows.
Right. If it truly is full spectrum lighting, then it has UVB in it. But the bulb manufacturers manufacture so many different, it's got this much versus that much, so I can't comment on them specifically at all. But it could.
I could toss in a comment about full spectrum lighting since years ago.
Oh,
I used to sell it.
Sure.
That they do initially produce the UV spectrum that's good. However, that fades quickly on the bulb. I'm not sure exactly why. I just know, having from work with the Ott people and other manufacturers, that they do give some photo benefit initially, but after, like within a 6 month, I'm making the numbers up, but I mean, it's a short period of time, and there will be no visual shift in the bulb, so you won't know when it stops.
So we always
found, and the research that I was doing at that time found, that really to do it, going outside or a tanning bed was, at least in my view, the way to do it. And I personally like to go outside, so that's my choice.
Sure.
But no, full spectrum lighting, at first, yes, it might boost. You might even see a serum bump. And yet it's going to be transitory, and as I say, you're not going to see any difference in the light at all, so you won't know when it stops producing a UV spectrum.
Thanks. I would like to comment on the sunshine, though. There has been an ongoing campaign to get people out of the sun, which I think is very ill-advised for our health. And there is more and more evidence that the position that the sun does more for us than just vitamin D. It really does, and we don't even know what it does. And one of the big things, however, a Dr. Richard Weller, a researcher, beautiful TED Talk, gave some evidence that the sunshine produces nitric oxide in our bodies, and this is actually substantiated. And nitric oxide in our bodies is partly responsible for vascular dilation, and it reduces blood pressure. And he actually said in his talk that just the reduction in blood pressure alone by the sunshine, by its creation of nitric oxide, more than compensates for any damage that anybody might get from the sun. So I would just encourage people to keep an open mind about the sun and don't burn. Back again to the really key message, don't burn.
Well, is there any indications of overdose or underdose, if that's the right word, of what people are looking at?
Sure. The to get to the overdose, or what they call a toxic level, is measured by actually a person's having hypercalcemia, or too much calcium, either in the blood or the urine. And this has been demonstrated not to occur before the serum level gets to be about 200 nanograms per milliliter. 200.
Wow.
That is very hard to achieve. We have demonstrated in our study that as people get around the, about 40 nanograms per milliliter, even though they might double their dose, the increment by which they increase their serum level is very small. It actually just almost plateaus, and we actually have people taking very high amounts, and they're still well below that number. So it's not anywhere near as toxic as people have kind of led to believe. And if you test periodically and keep your serum level at 40 to 60, you're totally, completely safe unless you have some very strange disease.
I was noticing on some of your charts all of the different diseases, pancreatic cancer, not only the ones that you would think would be part of this, like bones and calcium kind of thing, but there's what are the risks? The first one you talked about was cancer, but diabetes, fractures, multiple sclerosis even. There just seems to be nothing that this doesn't touch.
That's true. And the reason for that is back again to the statement I made, which is like every cell in your body needs vitamin D to allow the cell to do what it needs to do. So it's not at all surprising that it affects so much. However, there are some really heavy hitters, or things that are influenced greatly by vitamin D that we know with great security. One of them, of course, that people have known for a long time, of course, is rickets. And yet, we have not finished with rickets. There has been a resurgence of rickets. This is a softening of the bone in children mostly, but it actually is called osteomalacia in older adults, and it causes their bones to be deformed. We have seen a resurgence of this due to young teenagers staying indoors instead of going outside to play. But rickets is a really big hitter. It turns out actually that multiple sclerosis almost seems entirely prevented by it, if you can get it early on, so forth and so on. Another one is, we think, and this is yet to be for completely scientifically whatever, diabetes. We have just done within our study something that shows that there's a full 90% reduction in the incidence of diabetes with people that have higher serum levels in about 50 nanograms per milliliter versus 20. I mean, it's enormous. It's enormous, the impact on public health and people. With cancer, the biggest one that is just absolute yes, 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 do it is colon cancer. And that's been also substantiated by a lot of research. One of the biggest things we get from our participants is pain reduction. There is substantially less musculoskeletal pain. People that have reported having fibromyalgia for years say all of a sudden the symptoms are less, are gone. So there's a whole list. But even if you don't have, my favorite. Are you ready for my favorite? Pregnancy. Pregnancy. In pregnancy, that fetus is developing, and if that the placenta does not develop properly due to a lack of vitamin D, if you have adequate vitamin D, it's possible that you could prevent fully 50% of preterm births. 50%. And that's enormous. The other part is there's a researcher up at Oregon Health Sciences University, Dr. Kent Thornburg, who has shown that placental health shows the predictability of having a stroke at the age of 50. A stroke! He can tell by looking at the placenta what the probability is that that person will have a stroke. So we have got to start supplementing our pregnant women, and there has been a randomized trial there demonstrating very clearly that at least 4,000 international units a day is safe. And secondly, that's about the level it takes to get to that 40 nanograms per milliliter. So that's
that was a wonderful. That's a wonderful webinar on that page of videos that you have. I happen to be on
great.
That webinar, and it was just so heartwarming and stunning all at the same time to hear doctors actually just saying 4,000 units a day for pregnant women was perfectly safe and doable, and do it now. It was just so like I was applauding to myself. It was just wonderful.
Thank you. That's great. That's great. Well, we have launched a number of campaigns in different communities around the United States called Protect Our Children Now. I've mentioned that we have thousands of participants all over the world in our project, but we want to see communities take strong action so that as a community, they can say, it's great for me, but get on with it, city, state, government, whatever. And we think the answer to the method for this is really to create community action groups. So anybody that's interested in creating a Protect Our Children Now campaign in their community, it takes organization, it takes money, it takes about 500 pregnant women. So it can't be a tiny community. But it's something that can be done in a period of 2 years, and our intent with the results of that is literally to march on City Hall and say, everybody in this community needs to take advantage of this.
Okay, I want to confirm something that's being asked. 20 minutes a day, did you say, out in the sun between 10 and 2?
No, I don't think I said that. I did say that people need to be out between 10 and 2. That's when the UVB rays are there. The amount of time that you are out depends upon everything from your skin color to the latitude where you are to the time of year. So there are a lot of variables with regards to the time.
Okay, this was a question from somebody from South Africa.
The answer is still the same.
So since the sun would be hotter there, does it make a difference or...
Well, it certainly matters that they are at a latitude close to the equator in South Africa, I would gather, and their skin might be dark, and if their skin is dark, they probably could be out longer than someone who is really pale white, but I don't have a specific answer for you, unfortunately.
Okay, and we've got a couple of others that need repeating. I think Richard brought this up about... Can you get your vitamin D from a sun tanning bed?
From some sun tanning beds, you certainly can. I am not an expert at all on tanning devices, but I know some of them are made specifically for tanning, which can be done with just UVA, and so you could get no vitamin D from that. There are some tanning bulbs and or beds that are vitamin D enhanced. Etc. So, consumer, be aware.
Okay, this is another three questions put together. The audience is loving this.
Well, good.
Are there, when the symptoms arise of vitamin D deficiency, is it too late? And what are the symptoms? And should we just take vitamin D as a preventive so that there's never any... too little symptoms show up?
Love the question, especially the too late one. It's never too late. It's never, never, never too late. One case in point here back to my breast cancer story is that Pamela Goodwin from the University of Toronto did a study where over 12 years she started out, women came into the study, they had breast cancer. They'd been diagnosed with breast cancer, all right? So they didn't avoid it. It was there. And 12 years later, she measured their serum levels and their recurrence rates. And those that had the higher serum level had up to a 50% less recurrence. So, oh, my God, you got cancer today. Go take vitamin D today. It could probably help with the treatment. And it, in my mind, definitely can impact the recurrence. There also has been a growing number of trials being done with vitamin D as treatment. Again, on our website, on our videos, Drs. Reinhold Wietz and Bruce Hollis have participated in kind of, well, one of them is, Dr. Hollis is with Watchful Waiting with prostate cancer patients. And oh my gosh, it helps. So it's possible that these men do not have to have surgery or any other action as a result of just getting their vitamin D levels up to take it. So it's never too late. Get on with it. The symptoms is really hard to say. Vitamin D, except for rickets or osteomalacia, is really hard to say, oh, that's a vitamin D deficiency. Like, for example, you have more colds than somebody else. Well, why? It's hard to say. So forth and so on. So the real thing is expect that almost everybody is deficient, get tested, and dose appropriately. Period, because it will definitely help with many things you never thought of.
Here's another question that just floors me because I never thought of it. Is calcium and vitamin D interrelated? They each need each other, or is one more important than the other?
They work together. Vitamin D enables the calcium to be stored appropriately in the bones, and without enough vitamin D, taking more calcium isn't going to help you very much. So in that sense, they are interrelated. But once you've got enough vitamin D, taking more vitamin D for bone health isn't going to matter much, but it might matter a great deal for preventing cancer. So there is kind of an upper limit on calcium's need for vitamin D.
Richard, I'm kind of hogging the question time here. Do you have a question?
Well, I think I have more of a, it's a question in the form of, I feel like I'm on a game show. It's in the form of a, it's a question in the form of a, you know, more of a statement. It feels to me like vitamin D is of a foundational benefit to the immune system.
Yes.
Semicolon. And is that because it has so many, because it's so involved in everything that our cells do, really, literally, down to the cellular level, that it has so many positive benefits to how the cells interact with each other and are able to act? Is that, I mean, it just has, it's such a huge positive benefit overall to the system.
Well, if you think from the point of view, kind of a philosophical point of view, not a biological one necessarily, but our bodies really have been beautifully designed. If you accept that, and that if our bodies were healthy, they would perform healthily. I mean, they would do beautiful things. And we have, you know, we get a bug and all of a sudden something takes on the bug and we're fine again. Or we get a cut and all of a sudden the cut heals. I mean, our bodies are just absolutely marvels of engineering. So by providing vitamin D, that statement that actually was a quote of Dr. Robert Haney's, our research director's, vitamin D is the enabler. It enables that immune system thing or that healing system thing to go do what it was meant to do. If it doesn't have enough, it can't do it. So, yes, I mean, vitamin D is of the essence. Back again with the water and food and shelter.
Yeah, because I think as an herbalist, the audience knows that I'm an herbalist by foundation, and mm-hmm. So I rarely would use this phrase in relationship to a supplement. But as I think about it, vitamin D seems like an adaptogen of a supplement. An adaptogen is the characteristic of an adaptogen is to help balance out or, you know, strive for homeostasis, long-term beneficial effect. It's a tonic. And it seems
sure.
like vitamin D is an adaptogen in that the body, you know, takes it and utilizes it as a beneficial, whether it's high or low, it's going to have benefit on the long term.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't want to push extremely hard on the idea of supplements, Richard, because supplements is only appropriate in countries where we can buy them. The world is vitamin D deficient. Supplements aren't going to be the answer in much of the world. Sunshine is. That's the only way, or that's the way the body has been designed to get it. So we've got to find ways to educate and deal with public health in regions where supplements are not the answer.
And are not readily, that is true. I mean, we're I'll call rarefied air, we don't think of it, but
mm-hmm.
in a certain way that we can walk out to the store now. I remember when it was hard to find vitamin D.
Right.
You know, now you can walk into a grocery store and buy drops of vitamin D. I mean, back
right.
when you had to, like, I had to go find, you know, I had to ask William Grant, well, where do we get it? And it was like buying drugs out of the back of a trunk.
Right.
You know, and now it's everywhere. I mean, that part is really amazing. But there are lots of, as you say, there are lots of places in countries where there is no,
no.
You don't go to the grocery store to get your supplements. You think that
right.
your food is what your primary source of nutrition is.
Right.
And, you know, and the sunlight.
We've forgotten. Right.
We've forgotten. So now I'm gonna jump slightly, and I'm going to ask about, is there a relationship between vitamin D and obesity? I don't mean getting fat from taking vitamin D. I mean, is there a benefit to vitamin D levels and weight?
There's bound to be, and I am not... I do not know exactly what the relation, or neither do any of the researchers, exactly what the relationship is between vitamin D and obesity. However, other than eating too much and exercising too little, I don't want to minimize the need for exercise and attention to diet. Okay, so those are always there. But vitamin D affects insulin resistance. Vitamin D affects, without regard to any weight that we have been able to see, diabetes, the incidence of diabetes. And we know that some of those lead to people who have problems with insulin resistance eating more and being unable to control their weight. So, yes, there is some relationship. I don't know what it is, and there is not enough really clear research out there for me to quote for you.
Recently, Peter, I think it's Attia, A-T-T-I-A, announced on TED and had a lot of data that insulin resistance actually causes the body to retain the weight. He has a great argument. It's one of the next concepts that we're going to look at. So, if
that certainly would fit with what I just said. Sure.
Yes, absolutely. Sure. And on one of these, there was a video right at the top, I believe, diabetes data questions from scientists, Sharon McDonald, about...
Yeah, that was on my staff.
So if we look at that, and that, I think that's going to be the next project we take on here, of looking at that relationship bioacoustically, because we've been able to help people with insulin resistance and the use of insulin and the control of glucose. So I'm going to look heavily into the vitamin D.
Please.
Another question here. Is the vitamin D in cereal just junk, or is it real vitamin D?
The vitamin D fortification in cereal and milk and whatever is real vitamin D. It's just not enough. Like, for example, and food fortification can be a way for helping with various nutrient deficiencies, as you know, with folate and some other things that have finally been put into foods. But the not enough, I don't know how much is in cereal, but I do know in milk it's back again to 400 international units a quart, and nobody's going to drink 10 quarts of milk a day. So we just haven't gotten to the point of having enough in the foods to really pay much attention to how well it does for us.
Another question from the audience. How about vitamin D in eyesight?
In what?
Eyesight?
I don't know. Personally, that's an area that I have not researched and have not looked into at all. Although, I will tell you, an ophthalmologist that we work with has asserted that people whom he starts on early vitamin D do not seem to be developing the need for... Oh, what's that surgery that you get?
LASIK?
What?
LASIK?
No,
or
no, no,
cataracts?
No. Cataract surgery. Yeah. He says that they stay clear from the need for cataract surgery. So put that in the hopper of things yet to come.
Okay,
and there will be many.
They are looking at it on Vitamin D Wiki, and... they send us off to Google, so
yes,
there likely isn't much there.
Not much yet. Not much yet.
We'll get there.
I have to jump in and ask about what is D-action?
D-action is the name of our vitamin D project that we are running to do this testing and this group of people that we have around the world. On our website, right center front top, it says Join D-Action, and it's actually a project which has been defined by our researchers, and it's a consortium of these 42 researchers saying, here's a way to get the message out, and here's a way to test, provide data, and change the world. It's a public health project.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you're not privately funded. You are publicly funded. This is still happening years later because people want, and I will use the word crave, this information. I think that is just awesome.
Individuals are funding this. It is a marvelous, marvelous, we were all very frustrated at the front end at the institutional lack of funding for such a major public health endeavor. And then I just threw up my arms and I said, I'm going to ask the public. You know, they're the ones that want the test. They're the ones that want to be healthy. And sure enough, they said, sure, I'll do it. I'll participate. And our very, very, very great thanks in terms of the public health endeavor to these people. We need more. We need them to stay. But regardless, this is a, to me, it's the wave of how public health will be handled in the future, Richard. I don't think this is, I mean, it's a first, which the general public funds this one by one. And we're very, very, very excited about it.
You're like the ultimate Kickstarter project. It's just that you started way before Kickstarter was even invented. I mean, it's like amazing. You just put it out there and it kept happening. It's so, you know, wonderful.
It's a function of the times. Without the Internet, it wouldn't happen. So we have to have that. We have to have the technology. And, of course, we had to have the measurement capability. We could actually measure vitamin D reasonably reliably. So we're very excited about that. And the ongoing nature of it.
Do you have a list of doctors that people could go to have their vitamin D checked?
No, we don't. That would vary greatly, and we thought about that for a while. We kind of tried to do it, but it's not that that weird for vitamin D doctors to or for doctors to do the test. Many will not, I will tell you that. Many doctors don't know, don't believe. I mean, we're still in that status. But it's still pretty common for it to be asked about in a health plan. It's not covered routinely, so for listeners, please lobby for having it part of at least an annual physical. You need to know what it is, and it needs to be in that 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. Do not accept the evidence from the lab or whatever saying, oh, you're fine, without yourself knowing what the serum level is. It needs to be 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter.
I would think it'd be particularly useful for women who are postmenopausal.
Well, as I mentioned, for pregnancy, my gosh, it affects the life of the child. So it's important for everybody. And the grandchild. Don't forget the grandchild. I'm a grandma.
We have kind of a smiling kind of a question here. Does it matter on the body where the sun hits your skin? Should I be naked? Should I not wear my hat since I'm bald-headed? Can you answer
does
that
it matter
one?
On the, does it matter on the body where the sun hits the skin? Not particularly. Not particularly.
He says since he's bald-headed, then he thinks he is getting more sun than other people.
Well, he certainly is getting more sun than other people if he is bald-headed and exposes his bald head to the air, but that's kind of a sensitive spot if it's bald, meaning like it's been out there a while. So he might want to cover his head and use his arms or his legs.
Okay.
Or his back.
This would mean that people would have less issues in the summer, or at least when the sun was high, because I know it's summer in December, you know, in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So if people suspect they have some issue, should they lengthen their time in the sun during different times of the year, or we're back to just sort of guess at it, or...
I'm still at the point of saying test and see where you are, and then go from there, and then maybe do it in the summer, and then test again in the fall to see how well the sun did for you. I think that we just need to... Oh, I wanted to come back. Outdoor workers have healthier outcomes on any disease, like cancer, even skin cancer, even melanoma, than indoor workers do who are less exposed to the sun. So the tanning, the slight tanning and coloration of the skin actually seems to be protective for all kinds of things, for the skin cancers, as well as, of course, it gets into the body and provides vitamin D for the rest of the tissues.
We've got somebody on the chat saying that he agrees with you because he has lots of garden, and he notices that in the summer when he's in the sun, he has less connective tissue issues. Can you speak
marvelous
to arthritis,
marvelous,
vitamin D? Is that enough?
Yes. Accurate? Yes, definitely. Definitely. That kind of pain is very well known to be affected and reduced by more vitamin D.
Do you have a webinar on vitamin D and pain by chance?
We do not yet have one scheduled. Give us about 6 months on that one because we need to assimilate our own data because we think we have some of the most exciting data that currently exists. One of the things in the study that's so important is that we have people getting to this serum level, this 40 to 60 range, and almost all clinical trials that are going on right now are giving such low doses of vitamin D, they'll never get people there. So they can't tell. They can't tell that you have to be there in order to reduce pain or whatever it is. So, but we have a lot of people reporting pain and or reductions in it, but it'll be another 6 to 8 months before we get that data out.
And hypothetically, do you have a is it based, is it sort of the direction saying maintain a certain level and the pain will be reduced, or is it the other flip side is there a certain dosing level that helps alleviate that pain? All hypothetically, I'm asking.
Again, I would maintain the serum level, but what we see so far in our data is that the higher serum levels do a better job. I mean,
okay,
like 40 isn't enough. You need to be on the higher end of our recommended range.
There are so many questions we didn't get to answer, and we're out of time, but I have to have the answer to this one.
Okay, go for it.
From Larry, is there seasonal storage of sun exposure?
There is very definitely a seasonal storage in the body of sun exposure, and that has been well documented by Dr. Garland and many others. And even in our study, you can see that people's serum levels vary during the seasons, even though we're pretty much an indoor thing. So very, very, very definitely.
I would like to link your site to our research site. So we'll be in touch with you about that. There is so much in these chats, so many things that people have posted. I would recommend to any of you on the WebEx chat with us to go to the chat, click inside the chat, hit Control A to grab everything, and then Control C to copy it and keep this as a reference to what is going on with vitamin D. I feel like, Carol, that with you we've only skimmed the surface.
That's good, but at least we've skimmed the surface. My gosh, people are ready to hear, aren't they? Thank you all for listening. I very, very much appreciate it. I would encourage you to take a look also at our Facebook site, Grassroots Health Facebook, because we have some other postings out there, and you're very welcome to post questions and comments out there as well.
Chris is giving us a reference to Life Extension Foundation, where
mm-hmm.
you can do your own lab test for vitamin D. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, and you can. And if people are going to do their own, I so encourage you to come to our site. Ours is done at home. It's a blood spot kit, and you contribute to a study and the results thereof. Life Extension, I have nothing negative about whatsoever, but it's a certificate which you have to physically take to a lab and to get a blood draw in order to do the test. And you're not part of a major life-changing study. So,
where could we find that information on your site?
Just go to grassrootshealth.net, right there. Join DAction. Click on that button.
And
okay.
Click on DAction. That's the link that I sent you in the other chat, Sherry, was the DAction link. And that's how I originally was introduced. Well, I had known about Grassroots Health for a while, but that was part I joined to be part of that study back then, and it's wonderful because it just comes to you in the mail, you do the test, you send it back, you get information, you're part of the study. It's a, you know, fabulous, fabulous investment.
Thank you so much. Thank you all. I really appreciate
it. I'm not paid
it.
For this. I'm not paid for this at all. I'm just such a fan of, you know, I think
neither am
wonderful
I.
Research. Right, exactly. Yes, I know. Right, exactly. But I think it's such a great access to a wonderful amount of information. And as I said, unlike what as Carol was saying, when you do life extension, you have to go to a lab, you have to have a blood draw. It's a thing. It's expensive. This is a great dollar value, and it allows you to have your own vitamin D levels in hand with information, so that you can monitor yourself easily.
Well, I want to change the world's perception of how they take care of their health. And I heard your statement at the very beginning about supporting self-help and responsibility. We think that by individuals saying, I want to do my vitamin D test, I want to take charge of my health, and here's a way to do it and contribute to society, that we're going to lead a revolution into that realm from a practical standpoint. So,
we're all for get healthy and stay healthy.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this.
One more time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Carol. That was great.
You bet. You bet.
Grassroots, that's plural, grassrootshealth.net. And Carol has a blog on there. There's a place where you can ask and contribute. So we totally support that. And Carol will certainly have you back as soon as we can squeeze you in your schedule. Or I said
thanks,
that backwards.
Carrie. I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Carol.
Uh-huh.
Okay, everybody, have a fabulous weekend. And, oh, that's right, it's a holiday tomorrow. For those of you that don't work tomorrow, have a fabulous, you know, holiday.
I had this five-day holiday, and it just went, boof, you know, it's gone now. And it's such an incredible long time. But there's so much going on in the world that I love it. Richard, you still here?
I'm still here.
Oh, I heard the phone hang up, so I didn't know what
was going on. No, I think that was actually Carol. Carol left.
Okay, well, we've got the chat. If any of you want that, call our office on Monday. If you don't know how to go in and capture the chat, click Control A and then Control C. Control A to grab all of it and Control C to copy. A lot of good information. Thank you, people in the chat, for helping out and posting good things, and we will see you on Tuesday.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye now.